This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It's Monday, 19th of April, 2021. And just at the top of the show, we have a reminder that tomorrow, Ole Hansen, you will be hosting a webinar on commodities. What are you going to be focusing on in that webinar, and how can people sign up?
Still the prospect for a potential super cycle, as we call it. Just take a look at what do you need to have in place in order to see a super cycle. We're looking at the latest development price-wise, looking at a few charts. It's tomorrow at 12 o'clock CET. You can sign up by going into webinars.saxo.
All right, and you can see that on slide 2 in today's slide deck. And Peter, we ended last week, once again, on a pretty high note. If you look at U.S. equities, and kind of interesting, as not much of interest to look at there technically, just an incredible runaway. 4 weeks in a row we've had of strong upside here. We're entering the heart of earnings season, but I think the new development overnight is this very strong session we had out in China.
Yeah, just very quickly on the U.S. equities. I mean, it is one of the most expensive equity markets, and I think the takeaway, I'll talk a little bit more about it later in the podcast, but I think the key takeaway from last week was that the earnings were beating on revenue and earnings, but the investor reaction was quite muted, and that's because of the lag of outlooks, which increases, I think, the uncertainty for U.S. companies and companies in general. But you're absolutely right about China. We're up 2% in the CSI 300. I think the Chinese government have been very good at containing any contagious risk from the Huawei case, which is basically a large asset manager, financial institution that had been part of this corruption scandal and could have turned out to be quite ugly because there's a lot of liabilities in the system. It reminds us a little bit about what we saw with Evergrande, this huge, one of the largest property developers in the world, which was also on its back foot in terms of dealing with its debt load. And for now, the Chinese government is holding everything together, and we had a strong session. And in Europe, that has caused a very strong continuation of the Friday's close, which took the Eurostoxx 50 futures just briefly touching 4,000, and then it retreated a little bit. But we're opening higher today. Looks like the European equities are strong. If you look at forward multiples in European equities, they're still cheap. I like the momentum, and I think the developments in terms of the economic data that we're seeing from Europe is also supporting the price action in Europe, especially on a relative basis to US. And if we're right about our commodities / inflation trade this year, European equities should, when we end the year, have done better than US equities. That's still my core thesis.
All right. Well, one place where we're not seeing the right kind of momentum for traders over the weekend was in the cryptocurrency space. No big secret that we corrected on the order of $10,000+ on Bitcoin, especially yesterday's session. There was some story circulating that, and I think there were some sources, unnamed sources, referred to that the U.S. Treasury is planning on some sort of crackdown as they are linking crypto to money laundering. But regardless, the price action speaks for itself. And you can see on slide 5, I've got a chart from Bloomberg on Bitcoin itself. And, technically what I don't like about this sell-off, besides that, of course, it's a very, very deep trough we've just dug ourselves suddenly, even though we've recovered about half that. Look at the prior big sell-off we had back in February. It was approximately equally as steep, but it came after a very long run higher, and we didn't really sort of violate the old major high around $42,000. This time, we posted a modest high in March. That sort of retraced back a bit, and now we have a modest new high again, and this one really getting trashed here. So I just, much more cautious, I would say, from a technical standpoint when you see a correction like this. We'll have to see how the price action develops, of course, and if the source of concern here is followed up with an actual story with teeth in it on some sort of official crackdown. And then, Peter, of course, you talk crypto, you talk correction. We just had the Coinbase IPO. Some are saying that this was some sort of maybe at least temporary. Obviously, it has been a mark of the top. What's your focus on how crypto feeds into certain key equity themes?
Yeah, we can't help thinking about whether we are seeing a deja vu here, because back in December 2017, we had the launch of the CME Bitcoin futures, and that marked a key milestone for its institutional adoption, but also, you know, a peak, a temporary peak, at least that lasted for a couple of years. And you can't help wondering whether Coinbase and with the renewed focus and everything around the crypto industry right now, also with Dogecoin, you know, et cetera, whether we are seeing some temporary peak. And we had that last week when after the Coinbase IPO, we had ARK Innovation and ARK Invest buying heavily into the dip, supporting the Coinbase. You know, so Cathie Wood is doubling down on her viewpoint on Bitcoin, you know, as this decentralized alternative to fiat currency, and that's the future because you can protect your wealth against wealth seizures from the government, etc. We have heard the playbook before. You know, our point of view here is that, you know, governments will not allow an attack on its system without a fight, and I don't think it's that surprising that you're getting these rumors on the Treasury, because Yellen was very vocal against cryptos just a couple, I think it was maybe a month ago. So definitely something is brewing, and there's critical talks inside, you know, the World Bank and IMF on what to actually do with this crypto. So this is the key risk. We've mentioned that also in the launch of our crypto and blockchain basket, which we did on Thursday, on the back of the Coinbase IPO. And I just like the irony that we are launching this basket to track the performance, and then we are already down significantly, and it was down 3%. And keep in mind as well, the other segments, bubble stocks and next gen medicine, were also the worst performing on Friday. And that's the reason why the ARK Innovation Fund was down more than 2% on Friday, because they are heavily exposed to these themes.
And none of these names were trading, or that performance is not incorporating what's happened over the weekend.
No.
Either. So that'll be interesting to see on our refresh of that tomorrow. We can't help as well a concerning development recently. Just need to flag it, of course. We just reached a record 7-day moving average on the global COVID cases. You can see on slide 7 from the worldometers.info site. And the center of concern is really on India, and in particular there's some sort of double mutation or double mutant variant. Really just an ugly situation there. Of course, we needed to track that. One good bit of news here, and that is on the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, if they're able to reinstate it. Apparently, one of the reasons for the pause was that the people that are getting these blood clots, they need to be treated with a different protocol than is standard for blood clots, or something along the treatment protocol, more than that there could be, more than that there's a risk that this vaccine is simply going to be tossed out. And really key, because this is a vaccine that can probably be ramped far more aggressively and quickly, and it's cheaper than the mRNA vaccines. And FX, I'll get to that in a moment, but I think is more interesting technically was what we saw on Friday, or late last week in any case, Ola, where gold managed to sort of at least tease above key resistance. And I guess the status for precious metals this week will be all about that.
Indeed, John, and actually also industrials and energy, because we had these three breakouts in crude oil out of the range, or cup out of its range, and now and gold as well. So really, I think this week is all a question about whether these breakouts will stick and whether we can see some further upside momentum. Just touching on the cut report that I sent out on analysis.saxo, we actually did see copper and gold selling ahead of that breakout last week. So so plenty of new positions potentially being applied at these levels. So I've just put in a chart that you can see that levels are pretty clear to me. The old floor, the old ceiling, which is now support, that's the 60 to 65 range. That's a key area of support now to watch on the downside. And then when we had these breakouts, I always return to our trusted friend, Dr. Fibonacci, just to seek some guidance. And he's telling us so far that 1784, which actually is a double top so far, is the first level of resistance, followed by 1818.
All right. And along the same lines, so you have gold testing higher, and dollar really, the situation last week was one in which the dollar has sold off, posted a low water mark, and then are we going to follow through? I think Aussie dollar very much in line with your commodities notes there. You can see that on slide 9, together with the FX board, where we have very low trending readings. The most interesting developments have been weaker over the last week, have been a weaker dollar and a weaker Swiss franc, and we're seeing Aussie and Kiwi coming in stronger. And then on a technical basis, I mentioned euro sterling last week. That did roll over around the time we were talking about that. And then euro yen, I find interesting as a double top scenario. You can see on slide 8, the chart there. If we are continuing to see treasuries consolidating and rallying a bit here, I think the yen has considerable potential upside in the near term against, or really across the board, but especially against something like the euro. Now, we are just one, and then on emerging markets, we have a ruble that is quite stable, but I'm quite interested to follow, well, geopolitics in general, because we have a lot of exchanges between the U.S. and China and other countries in China, but also in Russia, where we're seeing a very ill Alexei Navalny, the Russian regime critic who's in prison there and is insisting on having being able to choose his own doctor as he's on a hunger strike, and the U.S. warning there'll be consequences for Russia if Navalny dies. So that's certainly a story worth tracking. But also for the market in general, the equity market specifically, with this amazing run up, Peter, into earnings season, which really kicks into full gear this week.
Yeah.
Well, arguably did last week, but even fuller gear, if there is such a thing.
Yeah, exactly. I know what you mean. We was a very small starter last week, and we'll move to around 90 earnings releases this week out of the around 2,500 releases that we track during the earnings season. And so we'll kick into gear, and we'll start here today with IBM. I've highlighted that it's typically not a company that rouses that much excitement, but I would say that they have done some recent acquisition with the Red Hat, and their footprint in corporate IT spending is still vast. So it's still, I think, important, and it potentially has a link back into potential demand as well for Intel, which we'll be reporting on Thursday. But then tomorrow, I've highlighted Johnson & Johnson because of their vaccine and the current pause in the US. I think it's very important to hear what they have to say. And then we have Netflix reporting after the market close on Tuesday. Sort of basically starts the whole entertainment and media / technology could have implications there. And then ASML for the semiconductor industry, always the first on Wednesday, company running almost a monopoly there on the equipment side. And with the explosive demand that we are seeing across the space on computer chips for everything from Internet of Things, crypto mining, car manufacturing, etc. Very key to watch there. And then next era is this standard utility company in the US have made this huge strategic decision to get rid of all their natural gas power plants and coal assets, etc. And they are basically going all in on solar and wind, hydropower, etc. So I think this is a key name for the green transformation basket that we're tracking. Intel on Thursday, I mentioned that. Specifically with their new foundry strategy and their new massive build out of manufacturing capacity in the US. Super interesting to follow that one. And then we have Snap, which will be the first one on the online advertising space that will have huge implications for Facebook, Google, Pinterest, and Twitter. So watch that cluster. And then we have Daimler on Friday for the car industry. And then as well Friday, American Express on the US consumer sentiment. Very critical there, especially because of Jamie Dimon's talks about loan demand is really holding back still also on the consumer side.
Yeah, I did see some interesting charts this morning about that, the contrast between loan demand relative to, of course, all the activity we're getting because of stimulus checks. So it underlines the point, if the credit cycle doesn't kick into gear, then you're reliant on that next round of stimulus. Otherwise, the activity just reverts so quickly.
That's a good point.
Back to the baseline. So that's going to be really critical to watch. I also seeing that Republicans are resistant against the full size of the proposed infrastructure bill and trying to bring back or propose a smaller one, where they don't, of course, want any support for elderly care, all these other sort of more social welfare type things that are in the original Biden proposal. So we need to track that issue as well. On the calendar, it's Monday, so not a whole lot to look at. Some Canadian numbers later today, and the Canadian budget could be interesting to see the dynamics there. But a Chinese rate decision overnight, really key to see how China, whether China continues to maintain this very tight policy or if they're starting to loosen up at some point. But the general idea has been that they are going to maintain a relatively tight policy because they're seeing plenty of stimulus rolling in from abroad with all of these stimulus packages that results in, for example, massive new demand from U.S. etc. So I will be watching that, but as well the Australian RBA minutes. And you can see what's up for the rest of the week on the calendar slide on slide 12, including Canadian Central Bank on Wednesday, ECB Thursday, and a rate decision out of Russia on Friday, where another hike is expected. We'll call it a wrap for today. Thanks for joining, and we'll be back, of course, tomorrow with the Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter @SaxoMarketCall or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.